Hebrews chapter 2, please. As we continue our journey through this book, interesting passage tonight on man. So beginning there in verse 5 of Hebrews 2, the Bible says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him." So, I've entitled the message, "What is man?" Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. Use your word in our lives. We just want to please you and lift up our Savior. And so please be in the room with us tonight and speak to every heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as he says here in verse 5, the angels were not put in subjection to the world to come, but man will have dominion over the world to come, which is interesting. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, but when God first created man, he gave him dominion over the world. Let's look at that in Genesis chapter 1. And sure enough, when man gets the kingdom, again, under Christ, of course, we will have dominion over the world. And that's what he's talking about here in Hebrews 2:5, where he says, subjection to the world to come. It's talking about the kingdom where, as we'll see here in a moment, we will rule and reign with Christ. But notice Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So that's an important word there, that word dominion. That means to rule. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So before the fall, man was given dominion over the earth. Of course, man fell, but as the verse here in Hebrews tells us, if you go to Revelation 20, man will again be given dominion over the earth. Just a bit of a gap in between, 6,000 years or so. Revelation 20, verse 6. Look what it says. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's talking about us. We will reign with Jesus Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. And so again, we will be given dominion over the earth. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 6, there's an interesting verse here that doesn't even have a counterpart. It's just one of those standalone verses. It's talking about dominion, though, and man. See what you make of this verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 3. "Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" How much more things that pertain to this life? God says we will even judge angels. Now that's hard to put our head around, isn't it? Because he's obviously talking about the fallen angels. We wouldn't be judging the righteous, holy angels. So he's obviously talking about the fallen angels. In some way, we'll be involved in their judgment. Which, again, is they'll be in that sense under our subjection. So God here in Hebrews 2, he's saying man has been given, the world has been given into subjection to him originally and again in the future. But then he reminds us, verse 6, "But in one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man?" Now here he is quoting Psalm 8. So let's turn there and look at the original quote in Psalm 8 by David. And look at the whole passage of what he had to say here about man. Psalm 8 and verses 4 to 6. So notice what it says. "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. So again, we're reminded here about man's dominion that he was given over the earth. But David asks the question, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him? Why, Lord, do you even care when we're so insignificant compared to you? Is basically what he's saying. And the truth is, as we saw in Genesis 1, we're just made out of dirt. It says in Psalm 103:14, he remembereth our frame, he remembereth that we're dust. God made us of the dust of the ground, and yet God made us to be his. And if you go to Genesis 11, God also made us with an amazing capacity. Now, I'm not talking here about, use the force and all that stuff. We are sinners. We are depraved. We need salvation. But God made us in his image. We must never forget that, which we read in Genesis as well. It says, the image of God created he him. God is a Trinity. Man's a Trinity. God created us in his own image. The Bible doesn't say that about the angels. But it does about man. And here in Genesis 11, now, we don't completely understand what happened here. We know what happened, but we don't know all the things that happened at the Tower of Babel. But at the Tower of Babel, listen to what God said. Verse 6, Genesis 11. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. There was something about the Tower of Babel that we don't understand. And of course, God stopped the project by confounding man's languages so that man could no longer be one anymore. Because up to this point, everybody spoke the same language and they were all together in the building of this tower. But we don't know what the purpose of the tower was or why the tower was a problem with God. That we're not told. We just know that God had to stop it. But this statement that he makes here just shows that he made us with this amazing capacity when he says nothing will be restrained from them, which they've imagined to do. And so God created us in his image. We chose as a race to go in the way of sin. Jesus Christ, of course, rescues us from that sin. And one day we will be given dominion of this world. And praise God for that, because it's all about God loving us. Right? For God so loved the world, John 3:16. That's not talking about the ground or the trees. It's talking about the people. When the Bible says God so loved the world, it means man. It means us. God so loved the world. As a matter of fact, next week we'll be looking at verse 9 in Hebrews 2. And what does it say? That Jesus tasted death for every man. The end of the verse. That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That does away with the limited atonement in the Calvinistic doctrine, doesn't it? It says he tasted death for every man. Now that doesn't mean every man gets saved, but he did die for every man. And every man's sins were placed on him. That's how precious we were to the Lord. Because he was willing to give his only begotten son. Because he was willing to taste death and go through all that suffering on our behalf. Just out of love. Yes, sir.
Yeah, just interesting to say in the very second word, or the very second word, it talks about man being made a little lower than the angels, and also Christ, when he came to earth, what has born, also is made a little lower than the angels as well. In a sense, man.
By taking on the form of man, exactly.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ had to lower himself, essentially, by becoming a God-man for those 30-some years, and had to put himself in the subjection of humanity. But he did it all for us. The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. God loves us so much. And the Bible says that, what is man? Man is someone who God loves. And it's not because that we're worthy of it. It's because we're His creation. He made us in His image. And He loves us because that is His nature to love us. We must never forget that. But as it says there in verse 7, we were made a little lower than the angels. Now, we don't know how much lower. Because we know the angels are quite powerful. We see some examples of their power in the Old Testament. We're told in the New Testament. Remember in chapter 1, it said, verse 14, there were ministering spirits sent forth to minister to him shall be heirs of salvation. Talking about angels. So they actually serve us during this time. They watch out for us. They help us. We won't understand all that. And we'll get to heaven. We'll be surprised, I'm sure, how many times we were protected by an angel. Because that's in the spiritual realm that we can't see with our naked eye. So a little bit lower than the angels, but we were crowned with glory and honor. And we were, as it says there, set over the work of His hands, which we read about in Genesis. So God, when He originally created man, said, this is all yours. You have dominion over every living creature. It's your earth, essentially. I mean, it's God's earth, obviously. He's sovereign, but He gave man that dominion. And then, of course, man lost that dominion with the fall. And now we know who the god of this world is. It's not man. It's the devil. But one day the devil will be chained, bound for 1,000 years, and man again will rule and reign with Jesus Christ over the earth. Man, whom God loves so much, He was willing to die for us. And notice it says in verse 8, He has put all things under subjection under His feet. Now we're talking about Jesus. And it says it's not yet. Notice it says in verse 8, but we see not yet. So go to Revelation 11 and we'll see when this finally takes place. So in the sense of Jesus Christ being God, He's always had dominion over the universe, but Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the one who fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, is currently not ruling and reigning over the earth. But He will when He returns. That passage you read in Revelation 20 comes right after Revelation 19, where we have Jesus Christ returning from heaven on a white horse and judging the nations with the two-edged sword proceeds out of His mouth and then setting up His kingdom. But notice Revelation 11:15. It says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So as it says there in Hebrews 2:8, not yet, but soon. Soon Jesus Christ will again, as it says here, reign forever and ever as the King of Kings over man. Until then, the answer to the question, what is man? Jesus didn't die for the angels. He didn't die for the animals, His other creations. He didn't die for the cherubims and the seraphims. He died for man. Think about that. He didn't die for other planets. He didn't die for any other aspect of this universe, but He died for man. And it just shows us, in God's eyes, the preciousness of man. And God answered the question that David asked, what is man? When Jesus died on that cross. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? What is man? What is man? Man is someone that God loves so much that He was willing to give His only begotten Son and shed His own blood on Calvary for us. Praise God. That is man. And so how exciting that we, because of Jesus, have now been given salvation, and one day we get to be a part of man having his dominion restored. when we get to rule and reign with Christ on this earth. What Adam and Eve should have been doing all along. Because when they were originally created, they weren't created to age and die. They were created to live forever. And their offspring would have as well. We don't know what God's plan with all that was because this fall happened so soon before they had children and so forth. But that was the plan. And then God gave man a free choice, free will. And as we often do, man made the wrong choice. But God's going to restore it all through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So what is man? A question that we need to ask ourselves regularly. What am I? What am I? If it wasn't for Jesus and His love for me, what am I? I'd be someone on His way to hell. That's what I would be. And we must never forget that. The Bible says, if man thinketh himself to be anything, he's nothing. So it's because of Jesus Christ that we've been given this amazing worth in the eyes of our wonderful Savior. So praise God. Let's pray.